As the civil rights revolution wound down in the 1970s and 80s, the no longer segregated press began to discover some old stories. In 1982, almost 60 years after Rosewood's destruction, a Sunday magazine reporter named Gary Moore says he sensed something strange about a picturesque resort town near the Big Bend in Florida's Gulf Coast.
I've always heard about these small enclaves that are scattered around the South, where black people magically don't settle. And I've always wanted a reason to look at that dynamic and ask about what's going on under the surface. What is the reality? What's the myth? And what's the truth? What is the true measure of the South? How violent can it get?
Later, after years of tracking down witnesses, Moore would conclude that fewer than a dozen had died in Rosewood, Florida. But when he first reported the story to the St. Petersburg Times and brought it to CBS's 60 Minutes, he, like witnesses and survivors, believed many more had been killed.
Claiming its name, Rosewood. You won't find an accurate account of it in any history book. Yet, about 40 people were killed here one terrifying week 60 years ago.
That December 1983 national broadcast featured several survivors, but it scared others. Moore wrote a book and tried to get it published, but the story faded from the news again. The Native American Seminole Tribune newspaper charged that the mainstream press shirked its duty to seek justice for Rosewood, and one Florida legislator called it historical amnesia. It took another decade before a docudrama producer brought two survivors to a lawyer. Then came two more years of investigations, more debates, and finally groundbreaking reparations payments and a movie. The editor of a Rosewood area local paper, Robin Raftus.
We have been threatened and intimidated and in every way harassed over it. Because some people around here do not want the story told. Other people want to keep any connection that their family may have with the story hidden. And other people do not feel like there is any story there, and they just deny all ever happening.
To both Raftus and the reporter who broke the story, Gary Moore, the story had been hyped and distorted.
Rosewood was a tragedy that does not need to be compiled further because of someone trying to further their political career or by a movie
maker.
It
continues to be mythicized.
Gary Moore.
Maybe the movie will create a whole different myth that will keep going. The facts of Rosewood maybe are maddening and frustrating, and many of them are ambiguous. That wasn't good enough for the mob at the time. They had to kill a few people. And this is not good enough for present-day society. Oh, we've got to have answers to all these things, so we'll just invent a few. And one has seen this in the news media, in academia. Society needs some answers, so it just creates them.
Some believe the Rosewood case shows that stories which sell newspapers are the best guarantee that important issues will reach the public regardless of obstacles. Historian William Rogers.
Anyone who works on Rosewood owes a debt to Mr. Gary Moore. He interviewed a lot of people. He was on the side. He was on the scene.
But that doesn't mean he or anyone got the whole story.
I thought I would go to African-American survivors and say, gosh, let's get on their record all these relatives of yours. That
blacks won't communicate with a white reporter because then they
I thought they would just leap to do that. Quite the contrary.
If information was not forthcoming as he wanted to be put down, he took issue. This is why he did not get a thorough and above-board interview with my mother.
Arnett Doctor is a Rosewood descendant and leader of the Rosewood family group.
Sylvester Carrier's sister was sitting in the living room as Gary Moore was talking to my mother. If he had been a little more patient, he would have found this out.
In many of them, the engine was to say, oh, the real secret is that our side killed 20 or 30 white people.
Does a white reporter really report objectively on an incident of racial violence?
By saying the important thing is we won. And one can see that on both sides, the black and white. That drives this myth.
Whether it's the way the story is reported, how it is told by the participants, or the subtle way language is used, biases remain. Professor Ray Arsenault says in many cases,
racial conservatism is expressed often through omission or through code words. you don't find the blatantly white supremacist language that you would have found in an earlier day.
Many say that humans always write from a particular point of view, that objectivity is at best a useful fiction, and that fairness and balance are all we can hope for. Columnist Rob Christensen.
Newspapermen have always been rated by the public somewhere below bail bondsmen and ambulance chasers. Reporters have never been highly regarded or trusted, and that was true in the days of yellow journalism, and that's true today. Part of it's just the nature of the business. We're professional peeping Toms.
Perhaps we in the news media deserve this mistrust, but part of our mission is to hold the mirror up to society, the same society we're part of. Journalists will always have to decide what news is fit to print, choosing between black and white and shades of gray and other colors in humanity's race with history.
We hope you'll join us in using this program, Media and Myths, to inform and facilitate discussions about the press and your community. Discussion formats and guides are available from www.racewithhistory.org. Or call 1-800-481-8482. We'll repeat that. Media and Myths is written, produced, and engineered by Alan Lipke. Script editor, Jude Tillman. Original music composed by Jim Beckwith of Common Touch Music. Readings by Ben Ronsley, Angela Bond, Brian Ward, George Graham, and Rainey. Special thanks to Keith Woods of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, and to Belinda Womack, Verna Avery Brown, and Jolivet Anderson, who narrated excerpts from the Between Civil War and Civil Rights documentaries. Funding for this program came from Sweat Equity, the Public Radio International Program Fund, including the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and this and other Public Radio International stations nationwide. Discussion guides for this and other programs in the Race with History Between Civil War and Civil Rights series are developed and written by Professor Sharon Carson of the University of North Dakota. Please visit www.racewithhistory.org. for race and reconciliation discussion guides, program copies, and other supplementary materials for use in the classroom and community. Or call 1-800-481-8482. That's 1-800-481-8482. This is a Listening Between the Lines Reality Works and Creative Change production.